Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee for July 29, 2013. I'm the committee chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Michael Novick, will now call the roll.
Okay. Lona Elias said that she is ill and can't make it. Jessica Apollinar, not on the call yet. Carolyn Burden. I guess I should name the stations. Lona Elias from PFW, not on. Jessica Pomer from KPFT, not on. Carolyn Burden, WBAI, not on. Fred Blair, KPFK, not on yet. Lydia Brasson, KPFK.
Here.
Adriana Castaneda, KPFT.
Here.
Present. Benita Diaz, WPFW.
Present.
Mark Hernandez, KPSA.
In here.
Right. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Not on yet. Tank Land, KPFT.
Here.
Bob Letter, WBAI.
Here.
This is Michael Novick, I'm here from KPFK. Jeremy Taylor, WBAI. Margie Wilkinson, KPFA, and Bruce Wolf, WPFW.
Present.
Okay, so we have Lydia Brasson, Adriana Castaneda, Diaz, Mark Hernandez, Hank Lamb, Bob Lederer, Michael Novick, and Bruce Wolf. That's eight of us. That constitutes a quorum of the 15 members.
Okay, thanks, Michael. All right. So I sent out a draft agenda, and I will now read it now for everyone, and then we can discuss it. First is the announcement of the next committee meeting date. Next, status of the outstanding bill from Election Services Corp. for proposing 10 minutes. Three, status of efforts to obtain detailed cost breakdown for 2012 elections and budgeted amounts for the 2013 elections, 10 minutes. Next, report on PNB action on election committee motions on moving forward with elections and next steps, 10 minutes. Five, report on PNB action on election committee motion on stations doing a mailing to clean up mailing lists and obtain email addresses and next steps, 15 minutes. Six, report from working group on cost-cutting measures plus discussion and next steps. I have 45 minutes for that. Seven, reconsideration of committee motion on term limits, 15 minutes. That was just suggested a few minutes ago by Benito. And then any new business, if there is any, with a time certain, adjournment of 10:30 Eastern. Are there any amendments to that agenda? Okay.
Move to accept.
Hearing none. Then is there any objection to accepting this agenda? Okay. Hearing none, then the agenda is agreed to. And let me ask if someone would please keep time. I'll announce the amount of time for each agenda item. So all you have to do is...
I guess I can do that.
Well, the same person shouldn't have to both take notes and keep time. Can someone else please just volunteer?
It's okay.
I would, but I'm not in a position to.
Okay.
I'm sitting here right in front of the clock.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just that I don't...
It's okay. No need to apologize. Okay. All right. So the first item is that the next committee meeting date, as per our decision at the last meeting, we agreed on the fourth Monday of each month. So that makes our next meeting just about a month from now, Monday, August 26th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So that's just an announcement. They've already been... noticed on the KPFTX calendar. All right. Next is
Bob.
Yes.
This is Benito.
Yes.
This maybe this is out of order at this moment, but before the meeting is over, I think we should consider, just like last month, I think that we should consider whether or not we need to have a second meeting, so as not to have to wait until the regular meeting date before another meeting. It seems to me that there are quite a few number of issues that have to be dealt with.
Okay, well, we can add that to tonight's agenda as to whether to hold a second meeting in August. So how about if we put that, let's see, why don't we put it right after the report from the working group on cost cutting? That'll give us some sense of where we're at and whether
okay.
we need another meeting. So whether to hold extra meeting, why don't we allocate 10 minutes for that? Okay, that'll be the new number 7. All right, any objection to that change to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then that's amended. Okay, next item is the status of the outstanding bill from Election Services Corp. We have 10 minutes for that. Now, I posted the correspondence to the committee this afternoon, but for anyone who didn't see it, and for those listening on the stream, what's happened is that the president of Election Services Corporation, which handled balloting and balloting and tabulation for last year's elections, had written to the interim executive director several months ago saying that they had not received full payment yet, and the IED had promised to get back to him with a timetable. She hadn't done so. He followed up and said, our board is authorized. Yes. Yes.
Okay, just avoid the language of the last communication. Thank you.
Okay. In any case, the issue was when payment would happen, and so the interim executive director wrote back about a plan to, or she said, in order to have each station pay its share, because the portions of the mailing bill are apportioned by station. So she said what she was trying to do was to obtain the portions, the breakdown, She asked Election Services Corporation if they would be willing to, if they would please send the apportionment of the mailing by station, and then she would follow up with each station and try to arrange for them to make their requisite share. And so that's kind of where it was left as of, I guess, day before yesterday. Does anyone want to add?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
They need to start now asking for those numbers, because if I don't mistake, we received from Tracy last year budget, really, but by a station. I mean, if Tracy has it, the ED doesn't have it.
Well, it may be in, it probably is in the budget somewhere. That's not the numbers that Tracy sent to Michael, who sent it to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lump sum of all the expenses from each station, which includes
uh-huh.
the local election supervisor, mailing, various other things. So we would have to get that more specific breakdown. And plus, it ended up, that's, remember, a budget is a projection. So the figure that the IED has asked for ESC to provide is the actual amount of mailing costs, not the projected. Because obviously once you finish, working out the number of people who were actually members on the day of the record date, and the number that were actually mailed physically, then that's going to be somewhat different than the projected amount in the budget. Is that Lydia? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, but my understanding, at least because we did a straight mailing, so I can tell you that the number of pieces that were mailed were based on the same list that was sent to Election Services. And that's exactly what that email that Michael sent us
mm-hmm.
reflected. So you multiply that, and I believe everything was sent first class. I know it was sent first class. And you know, then you should know what your mailing is, if you know how much it was. We all have the mailing. So I'm kind of perplexed. I don't understand how we could not know what that is. Again, simple math. The only thing that's missing here, in my opinion, is how much did each station already send to either the National Office for Identity or directly to Election Services, which I don't think that's how it's working. Anyway, of their known cost. I don't know if any of the stations have. I suspect they did. I mean, certainly they paid their local election supervisor, so that cost has been settled. But in terms of election services, well, I think we should all inquire. We're all on LFCs. I think we should all inquire whether payments were made and what they were and what they were for and if there was a breakdown. And also, I think, did we see the contract when we contracted them? We saw their proposal, but did we see the actual contract to see what they're responsible for in terms of...
Honestly, I can't remember. We might have,
okay.
But I'm not sure.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, anyone else on this issue?
Michael, I guess I agree with Lydia that we need to check with the general manager, the budget director at each station to find out what, if anything, was ready. I thought that when this first came up, it was like additional costs that were incurred. And then at some point it became clear that they had fronted the money for the mailing, which I was kind of shocked.
Michael, I can't understand you. They did what?
I'm sorry. I said somewhere in one of the emails went back and forth, it came out that they had apparently fronted the money for the mailing, which was news to me. So I thought that some of it had already been paid for, but they were billing on something, some overruns or... But it appears that it's more than that. So I do think we need to check with the budget director or general manager of the station to find out what, if anything, was paid for the mailings and to whom was it sent, to the national office, was it sent to ESC directly.
Yes.
So I'll try to do that at DFK, but I think each of us should try to do it at our stations.
Well, this actually ties into the next agenda item because we're very much in need of a very detailed breakdown of the actual costs incurred in the last election, so that we can then see where the discounts, where the reduced expenses can come about this year. So, Michael, you sit on the National Finance Committee. Isn't there a nationally centralized way we can get the data rather than rely on five different people to go to their local business managers or whoever, or treasurers? Can't you make that request through the NLC?
I can make the request, but honestly, we haven't gotten any figures back out of the national office. They're still working on the audit, is what we've got from them, which is the audit for the previous fiscal year, the 2012 fiscal year. So I think we're likelier to get it out of each station, honestly, than nationally.
Okay, because I thought I heard something at the meeting that was about to be resolved in the next, a couple weeks or so. So it seems like it wouldn't hurt to put the request on record at the next National Finance
Committee. Sure, I can ask again.
But to be specific, what you want is a detailed breakdown by station of each type of expense, not the lump sum that Tracy provided, which really doesn't tell us much. And also, it didn't make the distinction between the 12 and the 13 elections. We need, this amount was spent for the 12 elections, and it's straddled fiscal years, by the way. So this is not something that's going to be done by saying, oh, well, here are the figures for fiscal 12. No, we need, whatever fiscal year it fell in, if it was part of the 12 election, we want the total of that. And then similarly, for 13, the projected expenses, if it was part of the 13 election, regardless of, well, obviously some of it comes will come out of the 14 election, I mean the 14 fiscal year, which hasn't been, the budget hasn't been adopted yet, but at least a portion of the already adopted fiscal year 13 budget needs to be specified, how much of it was for the 2013 election.
Well, I had the finance committee meeting, the last one. KPSP presented the budget that was approved by the ASBE and was presented to the finance committee. I mean, part of the changes that they make in that open meeting was APST have $22,000 budgeted for the election this.
Not exactly.
$22,000.
Yeah. Can I explain? This is Michael Lovey. I'm on the National Finance Committee. I'm the treasurer of KPSP. The money that KPSP had budgeted, some of it was for additional expenses for the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of it, I don't know why they put it in that budget line, the bulk of it was for paying for transportation to PNB meetings. I don't know why it was put in that line in the first place by KPSP. So the money that was taken out of that segment was money that was held. I think 12,000 out of the 22,000 was removed and put into, but that was not money for the election, actually. It was money for travel to PNB meetings, which is actually covered by the national office central services. So what the NFC did decide is that probably each station should put something into the upcoming fiscal year 2014 mm-hmm. budget for the last month or two of this upcoming election.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I said, we have that, like Michael explained, really. They took the other 12,148. I don't know what the amount was that, but finally it was only 10,000, the provision for elections. Something else that I heard that was really interesting. They have a big increase in direct mail and acquisition mailing. I think that will be later on have something to do with and work with those numbers to, because the biggest expenses that I can see in having an election is the mailing, right? It's KPFT is already. And I think that other stations are doing it too. They are mailing. We can have some of those expenses taken from the, I mean, we can put it whatever we want, but we are taking under consideration already some mailing, and we reduce the cost of the elections altogether, right?
Are you finished, Adriana?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it seems like in the case of KPFT and people should address whether any other station has adopted a budget yet, any other LSB, that if you could try on your end, Adriana, to get the most detailed breakdown of what was approved for elections,
mm-hmm.
that would
mm-hmm.
be helpful to us. And the same, is there anyone else on this call whose station is even beginning to consider its budget for next year?
We are.
Who's speaking? From what stage?
Mark Hernandez, KBMA.
Okay, what stage is it in?
Well, tomorrow we're having an emergency meeting to try and get the budget passed via telephonic conference.
That's the full LSB?
Yes.
Okay.
I was trying to pull up the information on what was distributed, see if I can give you our numbers on the budget. Bear with me, and I'll have that for you in a minute or two.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, we don't need the numbers on this call right away. What we really need,
I can email it out.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And what we need from everyone is not just the lump sum, but the breakdown. How much for mailing, how much for the local election supervisor, and whatever other categories it's broken into. And if it's not broken down, please ask your treasurer to break it down so that the election committee can do an analysis.
Okay.
Also, it's going to be somewhat difficult to use the data if it's on the assumption that we're just continuing with the bylaws mandated calendar, which meant hiring an NES in March and you know, opening nominations in June, none of which has happened. So in other words, in addition to getting the fiscal 2014 figures, you should also ask your treasurer to provide the fiscal 2013 figures, you know, and just the time frame attached to that. I mean, I assume they're all on the time frame that the bylaws mandates. Which
no,
is
this
assuming,
is Lydia.
Okay, let me just finish the sentence, which would be assuming that you'd have a local election supervisor normally by around May, and so it would be that person's salary from May until the fiscal year ends at the end of September. Go ahead, Lydia.
We don't have an election next year. Why would it be in the budget?
No, because of the continuation. Once again, even if we had followed the bylaw, even if management had followed the bylaws, it would still straddle the fiscal years because the election continues through at least October, if not later, depending on extension. So there would have been at least some expense in fiscal year 14 anyway. So,
so my question, if I may finish also, is but isn't that money that was already budgeted when we approved the 2013 budget?
Yeah.
I know that the payment is paid after the fiscal year, regardless, even if we were on time, but not the budget. The budget should be for that time period.
Correct, and that's what we need to find out as a national committee. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so we had some discussion about this back and forth on the National Finance Committee, also at the local finance committee at KPFK, where I pointed out that there was nothing in the budget for the election that was proposed by the management. There was money in the last two fiscal year budgets for elections, which normally would cover it, but the National Finance Committee felt it was probably prudent, given that stations might not have the money that they had budgeted, that we budget for at least a couple of months of LES payments in the upcoming budget. So that's sort of the proposal for the National Finance Committee back to the local stations, and that's what was done with KPFT. KPFT had included in the fiscal year 2014 budget proposal they put forward both some money at the beginning of the fiscal year to wrap up this year's election, and then a lot of money later in the year for travel to the TNB, and for some reason they put it on that budget line. That's what I was trying to explain earlier. So the National Finance Committee suggested removing the second portion from the budget and using it to build up the reserves at KPFC, which otherwise would be about $8. So it was left with about a $10,000 budgeted line on the assumption that there were probably going to be costs if the election went forward that would not in fact be covered by last year's budgeted expenses.
Okay. Thank you. So who else would like to speak on this budget question?
Well, I'm not sure which one it is, but I do think that we should pursue both tracks simultaneously. I think to the extent that we can try to get figures out of our local management, the general manager and business manager, as well as nationally, it would you make it a lot more likely to get something concrete. I'm speaking from the experience of the NSC repeatedly requesting all kinds of financial information and getting nothing.
Okay. Well, are there any folks here who would volunteer to pursue your local station manager or business manager or other appropriate or treasurer or someone who might have
the finance committee, KPFT.
Okay, so Adriana, you're volunteering for KPFT. What about for the other stations?
Yeah, and I volunteer for KPFK.
Right, thank you. Okay.
This is Bruce. I'll inquire for WPFW.
Okay, very good. And KPFA?
I'm pursuing with the treasurer right now, trying to get the information.
Okay. And for WBA, I have actually, that reminds me, I've heard some beeps. Who are the new people who haven't announced themselves yet?
This is Lydia. I was bumped off and I had to get back on.
Okay. Is there anyone who's new? Oh, okay. I guess not. I mean, I can try to find out what's happening at WBAI. Things are a little difficult right now, but I'll do my best. All right. Now, I think what would help with all of us, and maybe, well, let me float out this idea, both for our individual inquiries and also for the National Finance Committee, perhaps if Michael would be willing to write kind of a summary of what figures we want, all the things that I mentioned before, but just put it into a nice big package about, you know, both fiscal years and both what's been budgeted but not spent and what's been, you know, what was spent and then what's budgeted for next year and broken down into categories, blah, 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 blah. And even if they have information about the ESC payment, that would be even better. So,
yeah. No, I'll be happy to do that after we get a call.
Terrific. No, whenever. No, I'm not saying right away.
Yeah.
Now, another idea I had was, what do we think of asking Michael to bring a motion in the NFC to ask the treasurer, the Pacifica treasurer, to actually compile a national report of all these things rather than the piecemeal and probably incomplete efforts that we'll do one by one, but just have one coherent national report on the cost of last year's elections and the what's budgeted for this year's elections. Michael, you're on the committee. Let me start with Michael.
I assume what you said earlier, I was going to go to the committee and ask for a detailed breakdown by station of what was actually spent and, you know, therefore what remains of what was budgeted.
Okay, but I'm making it a little more involved and also saying that the last year and the current fiscal year and the coming fiscal year, to the extent that any budgets have been... well, I guess only KPFT has been reviewed, but certainly, you know, what was there in the budget and then what was actually spent.
Yeah, so, I'll introduce that. I assume if it's passed, then because the responsibility of the treasurer to
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
I think we should stick to the 2013, because if you say 2014... I suspect you're going to say the chair will say exactly what you just said. I mean, the budgets haven't been approved. That's, you know, still a couple weeks away. It keeps getting dragged out. I asked the CFO, the Pacifica CFO, and he said he was going to ask Summer. So, you know, it's a circular thing. So I recommend we stick to what no one can escape from, which is the 2013 budget. And then when the other budgets are approved, we ask for that additional piece. I know that what we need is the cohesive picture, but I think that that'll be the pretext to put it off indefinitely.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But I would just clarify that it's not just what was budgeted, but then also what was spent.
We need to know that. All the stations need to know that, because then it will become clearer what they actually have theoretically in hand from what was budgeted to spend on this upcoming election.
Right,
so,
and
also
when the budgeting was done, there must have been a projection as to how many months it was projected last year that even an on-time election would continue into the next year. I'm not asking for a dollar amount, but just, in other words, we know, according to the bylaws, the ballots don't have to be counted until October 15th. So that's at least There's the 2 weeks. The fiscal year starts October 1st. So there's the 2 weeks to count the ballots, then there's 2 more weeks to certify. So there's that salary for all 6, you know, contractors going through at least November 1st, if not, and then in the event of extensions, which are unpredictable, you know, it could be several weeks after that. So, well, I guess we just answered my question. I just answered my own question. So there's a minimum of an extra month of salary. So if we have the monthly salary rate for those 6 people, we would then know how much, you know, is not covered by this year's budget that needs to be, right off the bat, that needs to be included in next year's budget. I heard Benito and then Michael.
No, I don't have anything to say. I was just going to second the motion.
Okay. All right. So go ahead, Michael.
Well, we need to get the actual figures because you remember that the NES took a pay cut, voluntary pay cut. At least some of the LESs were not paid to KPFK. They withheld the final payment to the LES because they didn't produce the report, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we need to get the actual details.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the budgeted. Yeah.
No, I said
so,
that. Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the whole budget question or the ESC payment question? All right. Well, hearing none, then I think we can move on to the next item.
Adriana here?
Excuse me? Yes, Adriana. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that if we go to the Pacifica website, you can find the budget for 2000 that finished, obviously for 2012 that finished in September, and you will have there LSV elections and the projection in every station, what was approved already, because these are the 2012 budget. And you have it by a station, KPFA, each station is there.
Right, but is that broken down any more specifically than just general election expenses?
Well, that is...
Does it break down how much for the local supervisor, how much for printing and mailing?
I think that the printing and mailing, they have it let's see.
We don't have to do this during this call. My point is, however we get the information, we need to get it. And actually, Adriana reminded me, Michael, that actually we're going to need data from the fiscal year 2012 and fiscal year 2013, because last year's election started, what month did it actually start? I can't remember now. Oh, August.
July.
I think it started
August.
In August.
Yeah.
And the supervisor was hired maybe in July. In any case, once again, it's straddled 2 fiscal years. So we're going to need the treasurer to really – that's why I said I think the form of it should be a report from the treasurer on the whole cost of the election, both projected and actual, regardless of what fiscal year it fell in.
Will you – are you going to hear it again?
Yes.
We have – and I repeat that before too – but we have from 2000 – for 2 years ending September – 2010, we have a very detailed consolidated election expenses report, and this is exactly what we need
right
now, because here it's very clear, it's detailed from printing, travel, technical, ballot box rental.
Perfect. So, Michael, you can cite that as a model.
Okay, same from the 2010 election. One of the things that Tracy said was that Terry Mauritius had submitted in his report a breakdown of the cost. So I still haven't had a chance to go back and check and see exactly what he sent us, but I'll look at that too.
Okay, yeah, I looked through it and I didn't see it, but maybe I overlooked
okay.
it. So, yeah, if you can check that, that would be good.
But the normal budgeting assumption, just to say, is that the... the election took place last year. It was primarily budgeted in the 2012 fiscal year, and then part of it was coming out of the current 2013 fiscal year, and the same thing with this current election. The upcoming election is primarily out of this current fiscal year. that were in, and then maybe some overlap. I think because of the financial problems, the finance committee is urging the stations to budget something in the upcoming fiscal year.
Okay.
Hank, for the staff.
The details would help.
All right. Hank, go ahead.
Yeah, so it looks to me like, from the sound of it, if any stations haven't completed paying for the last election, that it will probably run into the 2014 with pretty good, with a fair amount of beef since we're at it. So we'll have 2012, 13, and 14 all in one election.
Well, hopefully we'll soon get clarity on all this.
Okay.
All right, so can we go on to the next item? All right, so the next item is a report on PNB action on election committee motions on moving forward with elections and next steps. Michael, that's 10 minutes, and let's try to stick to that. Okay, so this committee brought forward three motions at the last PNB meeting to be voted on. And from what I gather from listening to the stream, they were all passed. And so PNB members can comment, but let me just, to refresh all of our memories, let me read them one at a time, and then we can discuss each one as to what happened, what was said in connection with them. Yes.
Now, this was the meeting before last, right? It was not last Thursday's meeting.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a slight update on this last meeting.
Okay, good. You can add that after we go through the motions.
Well,
so, all right. So the first one was the Elections Committee recommends that the PNB direct the IED according to the policy previously adopted by the PNB. That general managers mail each member by the most economical rate available that will produce address corrections by the post office in order to update and clean the list. Members should return information updating 1, email addresses, and 2, postal addresses. The mailing should include a reference to the opt-out feature in a sentence that offers members a choice between balloting and candidate statements on paper or electronically. So, any of the PNB members on the call remember the discussion that led to the passage of that motion?
I don't think there was much on that one. That was not the...
Right. Okay. Well, if no one has anything to add, we can go on to the next one, which is the Election Committee urges that LSB elections go forward in some form. Again, was there any discussion that anyone can remember before that passed?
No. Do you recall any, Bob, when you were?
Well, at some point, I don't remember when the conversation happened, but the whole issue of the feasibility of the elections given the cost, and I know Summer Reese talked about that there's serious cash flow issues, and therefore she doesn't see how it could happen until at least the fall pledge drive. That's all I remember. Maybe other people remember other comments.
Bob, this is Nico.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have the same recollection, but I don't remember that it was, she said all that, but I don't think that there was all that much discussion. And in the end, when we took the vote, it was unanimous, if I remember correctly.
Right. Okay. All right, and then the final motion was, the EC, the Election Committee recommends to the PNB that the PNB direct the IED to post a job opening for the National Election Supervisor forthwith. Again, does anyone remember the discussion that led to that passage?
Yeah, I would.
Go ahead, Lydia.
There was, as I recall, some discussion about whether we were micromanaging and also the feasibility, why advertise for an NES if we're uncertain about the viability of an election, blah, blah. But it ultimately passed with significant support. However, that meeting was, I believe, July 11th.
Yeah.
And at the July 25th meeting, which was 2 weeks later, it still had not been posted. Summer mm-hmm. said she would be posting it soon without giving an explanation about the anyway, there you go.
Okay.
So we may want to consider some motion as to how long it should be advertised for. I don't believe that was in our motion. Because it's
right.
going to get posted so that we can keep the issue alive at the next D&D meeting, which will be a week from Thursday.
Yes. Adriana, please.
Adriana, you want to speak?
Yes.
Can you adjust your phone a little bit? You're a little muffled.
Now? Better?
A little, yeah.
Okay. What I heard in the discussion was some motions from some D&D members asking for try to find NESs and LESs that were were not paid. Try to find those kind of local election supervisors and national election supervisors that were, you know, people that want to volunteer to do it. That motion didn't pass. I mean, they didn't think that was something that they need to consider. And I was thinking that was a really good idea to try at least, but that motion didn't pass.
Bob?
Yes, Benicio.
Yeah, I would just add to that not only, well, I would just say that there was even a concrete volunteer that had already volunteered to do it, and they still turned it down.
And who was that?
Bob Crozier.
Yeah.
Bill Crozier, you mean.
Bill Crozier, what? Yeah, whatever, yeah. And they still turned this thing down.
Can you repeat what Bill Crozier volunteered to do?
To possibly function as the NES on a volunteer basis. If I remember correctly, Lydia can correct my memory.
This is Lydia, and of course the issue raised, in fact I raised it, was that what we need to avoid, I mean, I'm sure any number of people on either any of the slates would volunteer to do it, right? But you can't, as soon as you start having highly partisan, people of definable slates that can be established by virtue of their having run on slates, then you will have challenges to the election, whether justified or not. It's just the appearance of the partisanship.
Yeah, I would just call on myself and say that agree with Lydia and say that anyone, and this is not directed to any one individual, but just in general, that especially in this economy, I find it inconceivable that the amount of dozens and dozens and dozens of hours per week involved, plus headaches, criticism, late night phone calls, that no one would do that without pay unless they were partisan within Pacifica, unless they wanted to, help. And I'm not saying that there might not be someone who may have good intentions, but I'm just saying that I think in the end it would be perceived that was the only reason, you know, that they were volunteering, even if it wasn't the real reason. So I think either way, it's not going to work. That's my own opinion.
Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Benito again. I would just say I seconded that motion, but now that Lydia refreshes my memory, it also refreshes my memory that when she originally said it during the meeting, it made all the sense in the world to me, that her argument made all the sense in the world to me, and you adding, both of you adding to it again, today it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's too easy, an apparently easy fix that's not really a fix.
Okay. So is there anything else that people remember from that board meeting or the more recent board meeting that relates? Well, actually, I did remember that there was a third, fourth motion from our committee that was not acted on, which is the one that reads, the Elections Committee reaffirms and recommends to the PNB that it reassert to the interim executive director that it's a national board that is in effect the foundation and that she be guided accordingly guided in all future actions. And the whereas clauses that led up to that had to do with the question of who can change the calendar and saying that it can't be the ED or the IED by themselves, it must be the PNB. And I don't believe that any action was taken on that unless someone has a different recollection.
That's what I recall.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's
so that needs to be pursued as a policy motion for the next board meeting. Okay. Anything else about PNB action, past or future? Actually, Lydia did ask a question about next steps on the NES hire.
Yeah, this is Lydia. So have we as a committee or any of the working groups put any time into an overlay of the timetable?
Can you be more specific?
Okay. So let's say, because I'm trying to say, let's say we are thinking about passing a motion requesting that the PMB instruct the IED to hire the NES by such and such a date. Had we included that, looking back, didn't think of it at the time, perhaps it wouldn't have been postponed, the actual posting, because there's no incentive in that motion to simply post the announcement, the advertisement for an NES. So do we want to work on a timeline, which begs the question whether we want to have an additional meeting to
right.
what Benito had recommended. Am I confusing? The motion right now. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Michael.
Okay.
Michael.
Yes, I agree with that. That is the thought I have when Benito first suggested an initial meeting. I do think this committee needs to come up with a proposed timetable for the elections going forward, by when should the NES be hired, what should be the data record, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And but I don't think we can get through all that tonight. I think we need to look at, try to get some of the financial details for one thing, and then look at the calendars of other things that are happening and work on that. So that would be my suggestion, is that we do schedule the follow-up meeting in August prior to the 29th, and at that meeting we mostly focus on the question of timetable.
Okay. But it sounds like maybe some other work needs to be done to prepare for that.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
I recommend that Bob Letters spearhead the work on this.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I'm not able to do that.
Not to come up with a draft timetable?
No. I mean, we have a bylaws timetable. It's already done.
I realize that.
So to me, the only question is when it starts. And that's, to me, a policy question that the board has to decide. Obviously, we want to start ASAP. But, so I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Michael, are you willing to, if I join in on doing drafting something initially that we can send to the full committee so that we don't come in cold to whatever next meeting we set up?
I'd be willing to work on it. I was reading some of the back and forth between Bruce and so on. I think, that might be necessary to trim time of some things in order to get the election done at all. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, and then we'll send out a draft, and people, Mark, Adriana, everybody else on this call can chime in and see if that timeline works, because it's, you guys, whatever. Okay.
I mean, okay. As opposed to just take somebody that's supposed to start in May and saying, okay, now it's August, we're going to start the clock running.
Yeah, but there's wiggle room within that. We cut some aspects of what we've done in the past short within the context of what's permitted in the bylaws. We'd obviously have to do that again.
And
clearly it's going to go into the beginning of next year, so how that affects, you know, that kind of domino effect of how it affects the next election dates and for officers and directors and all that. It goes on and on, so.
Okay, well, thank you, Lydia and Michael, for volunteering to do that. So,
well, anyone else can join us. Just volunteer online.
Yeah. Does anyone want to join in on that?
Okay.
All right, well, if you decide later, you can just contact Lydia and Michael. All right, and we will get back to the question of the date of our second meeting in August a little bit later in this agenda. So let's hold that thought. All right, is there anything more on the election committee motions on the timetable, or can we move on to the other motion about the mailing?
I have Adriana here.
Yes.
Bruce Wolf, he sent a really, in one of his emails, I think that all of us received, that he said shortening the period, like a 30-day nomination period, 30-day campaign period. I mean, he was working in some of those, times. I don't know if everybody received his email. Some specific suggestions about the, shortening the nomination period and the campaign period.
Yeah, the nomination period is already 30 days.
Whatever
suggestions people can make them, I just to state my own position, I would be very cautious about shortening anything.
Okay.
I was part of the group that drafted the amendments to the election calendar in 2007, and we thought long and hard about the intervals for each step of the process. Is partly based on the experience of voters and partly based on the experience of election supervisors who said they didn't have enough time for this or that administrative step. And so we really thought it through. And I would be very cautious about shortening anything. And just as one example, the old bylaws had a 4-week ballot return period, and we purposely made it 6 weeks because of reports that people who had not gotten their ballots till late in the game because they weren't properly mailed the ballots originally and had to get a replacement were shut out of previous elections because it was only 4 weeks long, not to mention problems with the Postal Service. So I would be very leery of saying, well, let's go back to a 4-week balloting period. So that's just my own two cents. Okay. Anything else on time frame? Okay, so next on the agenda is the motion that we passed and the PNB passed on doing a mailing by each station to clean up mailing lists and to obtain email addresses. Now, one thing that somebody posted this afternoon which reminded me is that there is a way to do a cleanup through the post office at a very cheap rate without actually doing a mailing, which is the NCOA, National Change of Address. Maybe that was Michael. So what are we suggesting be done? Are we suggesting an actual mailing be done and that the post and that we pay whatever fee that the post office will send a notice back to Pacifica or to the local station if that address is changed, or exactly what is the proposal here?
Was it Hank who proposed the idea of a three-part card for the mailing?
Yeah, this afternoon I sent out a bill that keeps us down to two mailings and takes care of all these functions in the two mailings.
Can someone please mute who has noise in the background? Hank, can you remind us what are the two mailings?
You have to have one mailing for the candidate statements, and what we've got going right now is a three mailing setup, which is more expensive in my mind. My suggestion is the same as it was at the meeting before, where we send out the first mailing with the opt out, the change of address, and the tripod card if we don't have to send the candidate statements. And the third fold on the card is where they tear off and it has the website, voting information, dates, you know, whatever needs to be on it for the purposes of their participating. And then they return the other bifold part that closes over their decision to opt in or out and their new address and information so that it's personalized, or not personalized, but confidential. And send that out at the time of the beginning of the campaign, the actual kickoff of the campaign. And then the second mailing to be when the ballots go out. And in the meantime, those change of addresses come back, we clean up our lists and send out the people that require a paper ballot, and everybody else has the opportunity to do it online.
See, the problem with that is it doesn't allow enough time for the staff to clean up the mailing list. There's too short an interval between that and when the ballots would go out. The whole purpose of the motion that we passed and that the PNB passed was to get this process started now, and then whatever number of months down the road the actual ballots are sent, there will be plenty of time for the staff to clean up, you know, to input, because ultimately it comes down to manual inputting. When you get hundreds of notices back from the post office or back from the voter saying, or the potential voter saying, my address has changed, here's my new address, that has to be manually input, and that can't be rushed, especially some of our stations have had layoffs. So you have to give a big interval of time. So that mailing hopefully will happen quite soon.
This
well,
is Lydia.
That's an additional cost, Ken.
Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I mean, I am still puzzled by what happened. Why aren't we just using the we paid first class rates for the last mailing, for the last election? Why are we not simply making sure that all those changes from those mailbacks, it's just been a few months, were implemented? Is there something? Am I missing something?
No, I think that's a good point. That would be one piece of what needs to be done. Obviously,
mailing went out
in November or October of last year, so obviously people continue to move and make changes.
When I did my research, people move every 5 years, okay? They change their emails every year. These, of course, are just on average. But if we receive, for example, a mail back that says no forwarding address, right? There was where the time consuming work comes is having someone go back to when they called in their pledge and calling them on the phone. I remember a previous Les Radke did that at KPFA, I believe. But you know, it takes a lot of time and hours to make those phone calls. You're not going to get the bulk of this by doing a mailing. There's a small percentage of which have the forwarding address. In most instances, the original input was wrong, so it is just a waste of money to do that mailing again to the wrong address. It requires phone calling. And we have all of the returns, so why not make use of those right now? Instead of, again, I don't think we have the money to do that whole mailing, and we're wasting time. That people should be doing it now. Anyway, that's my thought, for what it's worth.
What do other people want to suggest? You did pass a motion for a mailing to be done.
Yes, ABN, I hear.
Yes.
We passed a motion. The PNB passed a motion too. My only problem with this is, are the local elections really directed to do it?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Can you repeat?
If the is that really each station is receiving directives from the national office to say you have to do it. Because if not, you know, we keep talking about something and the PMB keep approving motions, but nobody are doing anything.
Hank, for the stack.
Go ahead, Hank.
Well, the law requires the national office to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anything but bylaws maybe would require the local stations to do it other than common sense. But the national is actually required by law to do it.
Well, this is Bob. Let me call myself. I have a different interpretation of the bylaws. The law requires the Pacifica National Office to maintain a membership list for all five stations. That does not mean they have to do the work of updating errors. That is, historically has been done at the local level. So, and that's where it makes sense to be done. But whatever the end product of that correction process is, a copy does need to be maintained in the national office. So as I see it, there are two different issues. But
well, not really, because the national is not maintaining a list.